Friends, the title of the message is this: our words carry great power to change every situation to obey God. Friends, we are called believers. We are called people of great faith, where Jesus wants us to walk in great faith, being empowered by the Holy Spirit, speaking to mountains and changing those situations to obey the word of God with our speech. We are not those that sit and grumble and complain and live in doubt and echo News 24, but we are believers where we speak faith. I love it. I go to CrossFit and there's this thing that says, I walk by faith, not by sight. We are to walk by faith, not by sight. We are the people empowered by the Holy Spirit where we speak faith, where we speak to mountains of difficulties and they obey the word of God through us. Where we speak life faithful words into marriages, parent-children relationships, finances, health, gifts, the city, the nations, where we speak God's words into situations that are dead and they come alive. We are those people. We are not the echoes of death on earth, and we are not the echoes of News 24, and we are not the echo of fatalism, but we are the echo of faith, of life, of encouragement. We don't allow death to determine our reality, but we allow God by his words to determine our reality. We don't allow News 24 to determine our reality or the business section on News 24 to determine our economy, but we allow God, who's the creator of the universe that spoke everything into being, to determine our reality. That's the God we serve. With God, nothing's impossible. With God, nothing's impossible. Every situation that's not godly, that's not the will of God, that's not the plans of God and the purposes of God, we must hear God on the matter and start to speak his words into that situation. Because if he said it, it settles it. If he said it, it's done. Friends, we were also called in Ephesians 5:1 to be an imitator of God. A mirror of God on earth. A mirror, the people of God in this city, imitating God to people in the marketplace. IBM, IT, plumbing, building. We are called to imitate Christ to the world. And for that to happen, our speech needs to radically change. We need to hop out of this car into a new car where we speak God's language so the world can see we are Christians. There's only two ways the world can see we're different. Only two. Only two. By what comes out of our mouth and by the way we act. Nothing else. Yes, we can wear the t-shirt, I'm for Jesus, and turn or burn or sticker in your car. But the real Christian models Christianity by their speech, by their actions. Our words carry great power. God spoke. He spoke and he made the sun. He spoke that word and the Holy Spirit took it and made the sun. God spoke and made Table Mountain. He didn't have a pile of bricks and cement to build it. God spoke and he made Table Mountain out of nothing, no material. He spoke and the Holy Spirit took that word and created it. Now we're called to be an imitator of God. Friends, the Holy Spirit's residential address. My home is 37 Lily Avenue, Dunvegan. The Holy Spirit's residential address is Jonathan Sean Isaacs. The Holy Spirit's residential address is Tom. The Holy Spirit's residential address is Chantal. The Holy Spirit's residential address is Tian. That's where God lives. He's not living there by the star, watching us, making the world like a clock. Make it, there we go, and step back. He's not doing that to us. He made the world. Then he chose to live in the world by living in our body to fellowship with us and walk with us. And he says, if you just hear my voice and start to speak to these mountains, they will move. So the text we're going to work out of is Mark 11, verse 11. And I'm going to read from the Amplified Version. I love that statement that Tian made in worship. imputed righteousness. That's the truth. When we give our life to Jesus, there's an imputed righteousness that comes to us where we walk in the righteousness of God. Thanks, Tim. That was very nice. All right, so Mark 11:11, I'm reading from the Amplified Version. Jesus entered Jerusalem. Tion mentioned that God dwelling amongst us, walking amongst us. Jesus entered Jerusalem and went to the temple. And after looking around at everything, he left for Bethany with the 12 disciples because it was already late in the day. On the next day, when they had left Bethany, he was hungry. Seeing in a distance a fig tree in leaf, he went to see if he would find anything on it. But he found nothing but leaves, for it is not the season for figs. He said to it, "No one will ever eat from you again." And his disciples were listening. Further down, pick up again from verse 19. Meet me there. When evening came, Jesus and his disciples would leave the city, Jerusalem, back to Bethany. And now he's going back again. In the morning, as they were passing by, the disciples saw the fig tree had withered away from the roots. And remembering, Peter said to him, "Rabbi, Master, look. Look." Jesus replied, "Have faith in God consistently." I'll read that again. "Have faith in God consistently." The Amplified says that. It's beautiful. "I assure you and most solemnly say to you, whoever says to this mountain, be lifted up and thrown into the sea, and does not doubt in his heart," listen to this, "in God's unlimited power to do it." He doesn't doubt in his heart in God's power to do it, but believes that what he says is going to take place, it will be done for him. In accordance, key word, in God's will. In accordance with God's will. In accordance with God's will. We want to move mountains in accordance with God's will, not my will. For this reason, I'm telling you, whatever things you ask for in prayer, in accordance with God's will, believe with confident trust that you have received them, and they will be given you. Whenever you stand praying, this is the anal part, if you have anything against anyone, forgive him. Drop the issue, let it go. Tell your wife, drop the issue, let it go. Tell your husband, drop the issue, let it go. So that your Father who is in heaven will also forgive you your transgressions and your wrongdoings. If you do not forgive, neither will your Father in heaven forgive you. Friends, some background context to this portion of scripture. Mark is writing to Gentile believers, which is us. And we can tell that because he explains a lot of Jewish custom and tradition in his letter. Now, this little portion of scripture that we're reading is beautiful theology because it teaches us about Jesus and our relationship with him. Now, Bethany is a city where Jesus' beloved friends are. Mary's there. Martha's there. Lazarus is there. Jesus is connected in the city. He has people that he's eating with, that he's fellowshipping with. Now he's traveling from Bethany to Jerusalem, and it's about a 2.4-kilometer trip, walking. I stay in Dunvegan. New Day is about 3 kilometers from me. I drive in a car. Jesus was walking with the disciples. They were following him. They were chit-chatting. They were having a communion together while they were walking. They're just fellowshipping. He goes to Jerusalem. He sees some things in the temple. He goes back. He walks back again. Jesus is walking up and down, 2.4-kilometer trip on his legs. He's a fit guy. I use a car. Anyway, he goes to a fig tree, and he sees a fig tree. Now, fig trees grew in this area. He sees a fig tree with green leaves, and he walks to the fig tree because he's experiencing hunger. He's hungry, Jesus. And he goes to the fig tree expecting to find fruit. And as he gets there, he sees nothing. I think we would think, if someone's talking to a tree, he's lost his marbles. He's talking to a tree. His disciples are watching him. And he curses the fig tree and he says, "No fruit will come from you again." You see, friends, this is the only place where Jesus uses his powers to kill nature. Jesus is making a high point. Almost a look. Now Jesus is God. He could have just said, "Fruit, come on the tree," and it would come on. He multiplied the bread. He could have made fruit come on the tree, but instead, he cursed the tree. Friends, this is what you call an acted out parable. Jesus wasn't angry at the tree. Jesus was angry at religion without a substance, a tree without fruit, a believer without fruit, a believer without faith and action. Israel was likened to a fig tree, no fruit. He's pulling Old Testament in, and he's teaching us a lesson here on how to get fruit on our tree by defining impossible situations. Friends, this is a parable teaching us how to be fruitful Christians. Friends, God wants us to be fruitful in our marriage. He wants us to be fruitful in our parent-children relationship. He wants us to be fruitful in our careers, our ministries, our finances. He wants us to be fruitful in the city and in the nations. He wants us to be fruitful in all areas of our life. Some of us are facing heavy mountains in our marriages and in our finances and in our health. We're going to get the secret right here on how to turn situations around to obey God. First point is this. There is great power in our words to move any mountain to obey God. Friends, Jesus taught his disciples a lifestyle on healing the sick. Mark 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 9, 10. We see Jesus healed the sick. He drove out demons. It's biblical. He walked in the supernatural. And they watched this by his lifestyle. Now Jesus is moving right over and he's teaching them how to have miraculous power in their words. The context that Jesus is talking to is believers. Right here, Jesus is addressing his 12 disciples, believers, on how to have faith. He's not talking to the world. He's talking to us, believers. He's equipping them on how to have faith. The first point is this, have faith in God. The Greek translation says this, have the God kind of faith. That looks like this. Nick, could you please come up? Tom, Anton, DJ, Ian, Twier, Dree, and one more. I got four. One, two. Okay, I need one more. Johan, could you? Yeah, you look like a mountain. Can you stand there? I need mountains. Stand there, face Nick. Face Nick. Stand in a line. Right here. Anton, it's getting bigger now, eh? And Johan. Oh, we've got an extra mountain here. You can't get through. But anyway, it looks like this. Can you get through there? You'll try. Just go around, eh? Okay. Play this. Have faith in God looks like this. Play, I'm the Holy Spirit. This is just an illustration. Nick has got some mountains in his life. First mountain is this. He's hurt next year. Retrenchment's on the table. The company's closing down. And friends, Greg is not asking him to. All right? Retrenchment's on the table. Well, I have a quick hand over here. Who's heard that in the company? Retrenchment. Quite a few. Yep, retrenchment. All right, he's facing retrenchment. This is another mountain for Nick. He's got gout in his knee. Yeah, he's eating too much biltong. Next mountain is this. The complex where Nick stays, there's lots of crime. And the next mountain is this. This is just an illustration. He has no joy in his marriage. It is as bitter as eating lemon for him every day. He's just enduring this by, I don't know what. Play, all right? Now, let's play, eh? Some of you are laughing. Now, he needs to start to speak to these mountains, but he can't do a carte blanche. You go. That's called positive confession. You know, when the people just make up their own thing, it's called faith in faith. You know, those sales reps do that, like positive affirmation and positive confirmation. They just confess these things that they make up. Nick can't do that. What he needs to be doing is this. Have faith in God looks like this. He must ask God the question. Now, where does the Holy Spirit live? In? Inside him. He needs to ask, Holy Spirit, what do you say? What are you? What mountain are you? You forgot. Hey, you're a bad mountain, eh? Hey! He's retrenchment. He needs to ask the Lord, Lord, what do you say about retrenchment? He needs to ask God, what do you say about retrenchment? Lord, what do you say about retrenchment? Have faith in God. Then God speaks and says, Nick, you know what? I haven't called you to go to work, clock in, get your pay and leave. That's unfruitful there. I've called you, Nick, to be in that company where you're praying for new tenders, new business deals to come through, where you're the salt and the light. Nick, if you pray every day for the blessing of that company and the well-being of the people, I won't close that company down. Your prayers will change the whole thing. Ah. Now that's a word that he has to pray through. The other one, who are you? Table Mountain, who are you?
Gout.
All right. Nick, hey, yet, Bayerman. He's eating that biltong, man, just every week. He's overeating on meat. Oh, God, heal me. This is sore. Heal me. Says, God, what is going on with this knee? God tells him this, Nick, can you stop eating so much biltong? You're overeating. I bind you, Satan, get away from me. No. You're overeating, stop it. I will heal you. You're overeating, stop it, and go to that doctor, he'll help you. I'm not saying this is a formula for everything, please. Sometimes we create our own condition and we want God to wave a wand. And he says, okay, now God's given him faith. Have faith in God. He needs to hold that word now. He says, yes, I'm going to stop this building. This is difficult, Lord. All right? And you are? Crime. Ah, he's in his complex. He's got a wife and there's Israel. They're breaking in the cars. A little house got broken in there. They're stealing the stuff. Man, he's getting all scared and he's getting his baseball bat. He wants to buy a gun and yo, what's going on? God says to him, Nick, I haven't called you just to live there and exist. I've called you to start to pray for those security guards that they'll be vigilant, that they'll be focused, that they'll have strength and courage to fight crime, intercept it. Ah, now his prayers are not just for himself. He's got faith. He has to pray that word through. And you are joy, marriage. Yes, Lord, my wife feeds me lemons every day. I don't know what to do. God speaks a word to him and says, you know what? I want you every day to go and crack a joke to your wife and sow that. What? That? She's going to squirt lemon juice in my eyes. See, now he's got words that he has to put perseverance in and persistence to pray this thing through to bring change. Now there's new business coming to the company. God starts to speak to Nick. Help this one. His fruit starts overflowing into that company. What are you again? Gout. Man, he's battling with this gout. He's still battling. He said, God, that biltong's too strong, eh? Help me. Give me the strength. Every day he's running to God. Give me the strength to help stop eating this gout. Biltong. Maybe for you it's your cigarette. You're laughing at the gout. Maybe for you it's that secret 4 glasses of wine. Or that whiskey in the corner. Or that secret magazine. Or that secret little thing on WhatsApp. Maybe it's that. I don't know what your situation is. Maybe it's that. Maybe it's that secret little friend at work that you should stop. Maybe it's that. I don't know. You've got your mountains. And this one, he has to pray through. Thank you, gents. Can you sit down? Friends, have faith in God is a relational word. It means this. We need to open up our ears and hear what God says about the matter. Whatever God says, now we need to take that word and believe in our heart that God is able and God is willing to change it. We are not believing in ourselves. That's not going to help us. But in what God says about the matter. Once I was in a school and there was a teacher. She had a shorter leg and her spine was damaged at the bottom. And God said this. Tell her this, I'm going to grow her leg and heal her spine. I said, God says, grow your leg and heal your spine. I was like, ooh, come back. I said, what did I say? See, God spoke about a mountain. We put her on the chair and I had these two legs and this thing was short. I thought, no, this is crazy. What am I doing? Yeah, God, you're setting me up. And I prayed and absolutely nothing happened. I thought, God's making me look like an idiot now, eh? Nothing happened. I started sweating, stressing. My brain was running all sorts of different conclusions. And I thought, just, and I said, wait a minute. I said, God, I didn't say I'm going to grow this leg. You said you're going to do it, so you must do what you said, not me. Friends, in that moment, my trust went to myself, not to God. See, believe that God is able to do it. I thought, started to think, I must do something here. I can't heal a fly. I can squat a fly. I can't do anything, but I just believed God, and that leg grew, and she was a wonderful testimony. Friends, next point is this. Once we hear God on the matter, there's great power in our prayers to change every situation to obey God. Friends, this is probably one of the most powerful prayers that we can start to do as a Christian, is this. When we step out of this channel, God bless me, God, would you come through and do this and this and this to change into this heart? God, what do you say about this? And start to pray God's word into being. We want to live for God. We want to pray His will into being. We want to live for His plans and His purposes. So sometimes it's instant. But like all those mountains are not instant for Nick. The one on Biltong, I guarantee you, he's going to have those days where he starts chomping biltong again. God convicts him. But didn't I say, Nick? He has to run back to God. Say, God, you know, yes, it's so difficult to stop eating this biltong. Or to stop eating this, or stop doing this. Or you know what it is. He needs to keep on running back and up and down to God for strength to carry on walking in that word. Sometimes it's instant. You pray a thing and God just does it. Other times, we have to pray the thing through, like the persistent widow, praying it through. Friends, sometimes when it's instant, it's like this: when you're on the sea and you make a little pile of sand, like a little castle, a little mountain, and that high tide comes in, that little sand castle has no chance to stand against that wave. The Holy Spirit comes in and He smashes that mountain. What happened? How did that happen? It's gone. A big mountain was the mountain of apartheid. Just, it's gone. What happened? Stop. Everything's out. You see, that man, Nelson Mandela, was in Robben Island around sharks. I read some stories. He was fasting 20 days. He refused to give up for apartheid to stay. He seeked God nonstop. Friends, I would have thrown the towel in. I'm in prison. I'm on the island. There's sharks out. Stuff this. I'm not carrying on no more. But he stood there. God, you have spoken. He was studying theology. Nelson Mandela in prison. You are studying theology. The Bible. No, God, you've given me this word. I need to change. Yes, his life, there were some other issues in his life. But the point is this. He held on to a word and he prayed that word through into being. Some are quick, some are long. But friends, it looks like this. Then Nick goes back to work. And he starts speaking this. Hey, I just believe we're going to get new tenders, new businesses coming in. I just believe that. Doesn't have to walk around, thus says the Lord. The Lord said. You can just start to whisper. I believe new tenders are coming in. Then back at home, he's praying for this company. Then he goes back out and he starts speaking words. Then he goes back in and he starts praying. Then he goes back out. He starts a journey with God, working around this. This is work. We don't want to do that. But we need to do that. We need to be seeking God. And the last point, and I'm done, is this. We don't just run to God in crisis mode. We stay with God in a relationship, walking with Him, loving Him. God's not our genie to take away our problems, rub the belly. The problem gets fixed. We're gone. Yeah? Crisis management. Run to church. Mountains gone. Back there again. Crisis management. Back to God. Up, down, up, down. Up, down. Friends, God calls us into a relationship where He wants to walk with us in fellowship because He loves us and He cares about us. And we need to walk with Jesus and worship Jesus and enjoy Jesus, spending time in the Word of God, praying, reading His Word, declaring His words into situations, and having fun with God. Last point, and I said last point, but this one. If you take the plug out of the fridge is off. If you take the plug out of the microwave doesn't work. If you take the plug out of the kettle, it doesn't work. There are a couple of things that's going to stop us from having great power in our words to change situations to obey God, and to have great power in our prayers to change those situations to obey God. It's this wonderful word called unforgiveness. Unforgiveness. Unforgiveness pulls the plug out of the fridge. Unforgiveness pulls the plug out of the microwave. Unforgiveness pulls the car key out and throws it there. Friends, we need to learn to keep short accounts with people. Dudley Daniels said this, try the 3-second rule. Tom calls me a chop and an idiot. I'm going to wait 2 weeks to forgive him. No. 1, 2, 3. Let it go. Walk away. I don't have to wait for him to come and say sorry to me. The quicker I forgive, the quicker I get my healing. Some of us are very stubborn. Stubborn. Nyaman. He must say sorry to me, and then I'll forgive him. You've just pulled the plug out of the fridge. You've pulled the plug out of the kettle. You pulled the plug out of the microwave. You've just put a mattress over you and God. I don't need him to say sorry to me. It would be nice. It would be nice, and he would. It would be nice. But friends, here's the reality. He hurts me. He walks away. He's happy, and I'm walking around with this pain and the sickness in my stomach. Because I want him to forgive me. How many of us are battling with our family members from Christmas? Yes, that one didn't contribute, and this one didn't pay, and this one didn't do this. And we've got all these arguments in our mind about our family members. Drop the issue, let it go, move on. But also, can I say, if you're the person always creating conflict, you know, it's like a fight everywhere you go. Everybody else is wrong except me. Maybe you should ask God, Lord, who's the real problem here? God will come in a very gracious, loving way and say, you know what? You are. Can I help you here? Yes, please do. Friends, we also need to forgive ourselves. Ourselves. You know, sometimes we blow it. Maybe you've damaged it with your child relationship. You've got a child that doesn't want to speak to you no more because something you've done 5 years ago. Or you've done something wrong. Or you've done something in the secret closet of disgusting darkness. And you're carrying so much shame in your heart. And you're slipping in. No one must know what's about that secret, dark, dirty thing. I can't forgive myself, and therefore God can't forgive me. Friends, Jesus paid for that sin. Past, present, future. If he's forgiven you, and you can't forgive yourself, you're saying this to Jesus. Smack him in the face. The cross is not enough. Receive his forgiveness. Receive it. Now there's no condemnation for those in Christ. Fact and feeling. Some of us are waiting to forgive ourselves when we feel it. I'll forgive myself when I feel forgiven. God says you already are forgiven. Fact and feeling. Just let it go. And friends, some of us have caused legitimate hurt. And both partners know it. Example, I walk to Tian and I do something to his face deliberately wrong. I know it and he knows it. The wise thing for me to do is go to him and say, listen here, I'm sorry, man, I just blew it. Forgive me. Because we both knew about it. It's not my heart intention. And just walk away. Others, this is not forgiveness where you're standing like a doormat and the person's stamping on you the whole time. I'm going to forgive, I'm going to forgive, I'm going to forgive, I'm going to forgive. I'm not saying being in an abusive situation. I'm not saying that. Sometimes just get out of that mat and go stand there. Forgive and just move on. But some of us have been hurt so badly that because that person hurt us there, our character is actually damaged in that area. We feel damaged by what that person done to us. And that's a reality. I'm carrying right now some hurt and damage in my heart by a certain person, what he done to me. And I have to go and work it through. And I'm thinking, why can't that person just be nice and gracious? hurting me. I have to go through now, go back to God, and go and sort this thing out with God. I can't let that thing determine my new behavior style now. Some of us have been damaged in our personality and our character. The solution to that problem, take the very thing, the very issue, and just ask the Holy Spirit to heal you there. He's a great psychologist, great doctor. He knows you. You can get right inside there because he lives inside there anyway. And just ask him, can you heal me here? Help me to keep short accounts with people, the 3-second rule. Why? So that we can have great power in our words to change situations to obey God, so that we can have great power in our prayers to change situations to obey God. Can we please stand?